All right, good afternoon. You're here with Bikesport Radio, where we talk about bike racing, bike racers, and what you need to race bikes. I'm Brad House, and you're here at the Kill Radio Studios. And we've got race results from the Valley of the Sun stage race, also the LA Velodrome Racing Association Omnium, some upcoming events, and in-studio guest as well from the Amgen Tour California. We've got Eric Smith in the studios. He's the course director from the Amgen Tour of California. We'll be going over some of the information about the race course for the Amgen Tour of California. Right now we've got some race results. Let's get into those. We've got some Valley of the Sun stage race results that took place in Arizona the weekend of Valentine's Day, the 14th. GC overall standings. In the junior men's 12 and under, your winner, right out of Flagstaff, Zachary Edwards. Junior men 15, third place picked up by Alex Darville from Echelon Santa Barbara. Second place going to Marcus Smith, Team Specialized Racing Juniors, and Showair Sonnens's Kyle Torres was your overall GC winner in the juniors. Junior men 17 to 18. Overall third place going to Team Specialized Racing Juniors, Tori Phillip. Second place, Andrew Lanier. And your winner, Eamon Lucas. Those are all from Team Specialized Racing Juniors. In the junior women, ages 12 to 10. Fourth place, Julen Aguila. Third place, Brown Garcias from YBC Racing. Second place, Major Motions, Lucia Carino. And your winner from YBC Racing, Syria Cepeda. Junior women's 14-15, third place, Dries Vanden, San Jose Bicycle Club. Second place going to Priority Health Cycling Team's Zoe Reeves. And your winner from California Pacific Export Racing Team, Tara McCormick. The junior women's 17-18 overall winner, San Jose Bicycle Club's Taylor Milan. Men's pros in fifth place, overall GC, Team Pista Palace's Eric Marcotti. Fourth place going to Trek Livestrong's U23 team's Charlie Avis. Third place picked up by California Giant Specialized, last name is Talansky. Don't have a first name here. In second place, Jameis Sutter Holmes, presented by Colavita's Luis Amaron. And your winner from Jelly Belly, presented by Kenda, Jonathan Kodroff. That's in the men's pros overall GC, Valley of the Sun stage race. In the men's category, three amateurs. The U.S. Air Force Academy Cyclings, Brock Logan picked up third place. Second place picked up by Art Cyclery, Wild Horse Wines, Miles Lamont, and your winner from Riddy, Robert Shaw. Valley of the Sun stage race, women's. Overall GC, picking up third place, going to Allsport GPS Arizona Women's Racing's Catherine Dixon. Second place picked up by Metro Mint Cycling's Van Howelling. And your winner from Colavita, Carmen Small. All right, in the LA Velodrome, Lavra Cup took place on February 20th. That's Saturday, February 20th.
some time trials taking place. The winners of the Team Pursuit, Danny Healy, Mark Newman, Seth Davidson, and John Walsh, with a time of 457.38. Also, some individual flying 200s. That's 200 meter sprints. Third place in the women's flying 200, Shane Ellis. Second place, CJ Boyinger. And your fastest time posted by Tara Whitten with a time of 12.85. In the flying 200 meters, men's top three with a time of 11.11. Stephen Cassetti, third place. TJ Matheson, third place with the same time. And your winner posting a time of 10.81, Travis Smith. The Lavra Cup Omniums, also on February 20th, took place in the overall Omniums men's category 1s, 2s, and 3s. Picking up third place, Brent Kay. Second place going to Rasan Bahati, and your winner, Eric Barlevev. In the women's category 1, 2, 3s, third place going to Team Hammer Nutrition's Shane Ellis. Second place picked up by Hannah and Alves Hyde, and your winner from Cal Pacific Export Packers, Tara McCormick. In the Masters 45 Plus Omnium, overall third place going to Strada Racing Club's Richard Giordano. Second place picked up by 8th Wonder Cycling's John Rondash, and your winner from Amgen UBS Elite Masters, John Walsh. Also in the Masters 55s, third place, overall Lavra Omnium, California Pools Racing's Eugene Poirena. Second place going to Velo Allegro's Ricky Shorts, and your winner from Amgen UBS Elite Masters, Keith Ketterer.
All right, we got some upcoming events now for Southern California as well as Northern Cal. Let's get into those.
Upcoming bike racing events in Southern California and Southern Nevada. Coming up on Thursday, February 25th through the 28th, and also February 26th through the 28th, there's a stage race, the Calville Bay Classic, starting on February 25th for Pro Men's Category 1s and 2s and Masters 35 Plus only. And then starting on February 26th for all other categories. This is the Calville Bay Classic multi-day stage race. Full details at CalvilleBayClassic.com. CalvilleBayClassic.com. The Pro Men's 1s and 2s and the also Masters 35 Plus Cat 1 through 4s have four stages, a time trial, road race, and a crit, and a Thursday noon 52-mile road stage as well for those categories. All the other categories start on Friday, February 26th, with the 6.5K time trial. That's on Friday. Again, the Calville Bay Classic. Visit CalvilleBayClassic.com, and you can sign up at SoCalRidge.com. Also coming up on the same weekend, February 28th, Pacific Sunset Velo presents the 12th annual Dare to Race Grand Prix in Ontario. Criterium Racing in Ontario, Southern California. Pacific Sunset Velo, you can find out more about that at scnca.org. That's the Ontario Criterium called Dare to Race Grand Prix. And the Masters Cycle League continues on March 13th in Northern California on a classic circuit course. This is a road course. Fantastic 4.3-mile loop with full road closure. You can use both sides of the road. That's on the Army base, the old Army base of Fort Ord in Monterey, the former Army base. This event is part of the Masters Cycle League for Northern California. MCL Racing starting at 9:45 for the Masters 35+. And you can find full details on this at www.cccxcycling.com. Again, that's cccxcycling.com. And you can also register through Sportspace Online as well. Don't miss that. March 13th, Central Coast Circuit Race in Monterey.
Yeah, Monterey. Going to have the second Northern Cal Masters Cycle League coming up March 13th. That's going to be a cool race. It's the first ever road race being played out as part of the Masters Cycle League. It's a four-mile course, and this will be the first road race counting for part of the Masters Cycle League. Visit MastersCycleLeague.com for details on that event coming up March 13th in Monterey. All right, we've got a couple of features today. One is a audio chronicles of my first ever double century. Yes, that's 200 miles on the bike in one day. And now I love my bike, but I just don't know if I love it that much anymore. But I survived, and we got some audio chronicles that are kind of cool of that entire ride. Pretty well run event done by Planet Ultra. And then we also got an in-studio guest, Eric Smith from the Amgen Tour of California. He's the course director. Let's bring up the mic here, and let's go to Eric now and see if you check your mic there. Is your mic working?
I think it is, Brad. How are you
cool.
today?
Hey, I'm doing good. My legs are kind of sore. That was a long time on the bike, but it's not about me on here. We're going to talk about the Amgen Tour of California. You're the course director, correct? What did that mean you did?
I do a lot of different jobs for the race. Primarily, I do course design. They give me the cities for the start and the finish, and my job is to look at how we connect the dots. It's a long process to lay out the courses, and then once we get approval, I then have to contact approximately 85 different municipalities throughout the state to get all the permits and permissions. If anybody's promoted a local race and knows what it's like to get permission for a local race, they can imagine 850 miles through California.
Wow, yeah, I can imagine that, certainly. And I've purposely kept myself in the dark about where the stages are and everything just so we can have this all be new today on the show at Bikesport Radio. For starters, how many stages are there?
We have 8 stages this year. Last year we did 9. We bumped it back down to 8 that we had done
okay.
The previous 3 years. We were at 8.
All right, and then real quick, what cities are those 8? Do you remember them in order?
Sure, I better remember them. It's like remembering your kids' names. We start off stage 1 in Nevada City, which is just a great racing town. This is their 50th anniversary of their Nevada City Classic. We race from Nevada City down to Sacramento. We transfer to Davis on Monday the 17th. We go from Davis back to Santa Rosa. We put some new twists and turns and 2 more climbs into that stage. It's going to be a very difficult stage. Stage 3, we'll go from San Francisco down to Santa Cruz. We are forgoing the Golden Gate Bridge this year and Sausalito starting actually in San Francisco. And we've added 2 additional climbs to Stage 3 into Santa Cruz. Stage 4, we're going back to Modesto from San Jose, and the twist this year is we're forgoing Tracy and doing a 30-mile grind up Mines Road, which is a very, very, very tough road. Stage 5 is a totally new stage for us. We're going from Visalia down to Bakersfield, 124 miles. A couple highlights of that stage was we're going through the oil fields coming into Bakersfield along some of the same routes that we've used for state championships up in Bakersfield. And then we have 3 circuits coming up the very difficult China grade at the end. It's a 10 to 12% climb over about a half mile, and we'll do that 3 times coming into the finish.
Oh.
Stage 6 is the queen stage that a lot of people are waiting for, and that's going from City Hall in Pasadena, through La Quinada, hitting Angeles Crest Highway into Wrightwood, picking up 138 and climbing through Crestline and Rim of the World up to a finish at Big Bear. 135 miles, 12,000 feet of climbing. We still haven't had access to all the roads, so I don't know how many KOMs, but it's going to be somewhere around 5 or 6 KOMs. Stage 7 is a very unique race. That's the individual time trial down here in Los Angeles, going past all the iconic images in downtown Los Angeles. And then stage 8 will be a circuit race in the Thousand Oaks, Westlake Village, Agoura Hills area. Circuit is about 21 miles. We'll do that four times, going past the Rock Store and up Mulholland four times.
Nice. Wow. And that's the headquarters for the title sponsor, isn't it? Amgen in that area?
Amgen's up in Thousand Oaks, right?
Very cool. We're here with Eric Smith of the Amgen Tour California. If anybody wants to call in and have some questions, we have got a phone number here in the studio, 213-252-0998. And we won't be able to get you live on the radio today. I'll have to relay the questions. We're having a little issue with the phone going live, but other than that, we're good. Before we get into the details on the stage-by-stage, the dates also, we start in May. What are the dates exactly, and why was it moved to May?
Yeah, the race starts May 16th and runs through the 23rd. I think the bad weather we had the last 2 years forced the move. I know UCI would like to see the riders be able to race in some decent weather. And we found that we're getting higher quality overall set of riders and teams interested in doing the race this year, and it's no longer just a warm-up race, you know, first season race. This is now a race where everybody is in shape and getting ready for the Tour de France.
Nice, very nice. So people are definitely going to take it a lot more seriously this year, it sounds like. Stage by stage, now Davis is fairly flat. Tell us a little bit more about the Davis area stage.
Davis is anybody's been to Davis. It's just an awesome cycling community with the University of Davis there. They run the Davis Double, which is actually 2 days before we come in, which is one of the largest double centuries in the country. It is flat until we get up near Lake Berryessa. And once we hit Lake Berryessa, we're looking at two significant climbs. And at the end of Lake Berryessa, we go up Howl Mountain, which is a very tough 10 to 12% climb. Last year we went through Calistoga, great town, not a whole lot of climbing coming out of Calistoga. So this year we're reversing what we've done in the past. We're going up Oakville grade, tough climb, and then the infamous Trinity grade. So we're adding two very difficult KOMs coming into Santa Rosa. And then the run out into Santa Rosa over Warm Springs and Bennett Valley roads are very tough roads to chase anything down. So the thought is that if you can
imagine
hang on over Trinity Grade down into Glenville, you have a good chance of holding on to the finish.
Nice. And I'll bet those double century riders may want to hang around in town maybe and see that stage. Certainly,
yeah, we could use them for volunteers also for that stage.
Yeah, that's right. Volunteer opportunities are available. How do you find out if you want to volunteer? How do people get in touch with the...
If you go to the Amgen Tour of California website, which not surprisingly is amgentourcalifornia.com, you will see a link there for volunteers. And you have the opportunity to volunteer for any stage you want. There's a variety of positions, but most of the 4,000 volunteers we have are out on the road helping us as course marshals.
Yeah, that was my first experience at a big event as a volunteer in Redondo Beach, the final stage. I volunteered as a course marshal there, and I asked for, and be careful what you ask for out there, people. I was given what I asked for, the final turn coming into the final stretch on the outside of the final turn. That was my spot. And my arms are long, so I did what I could. I threw a leg out here and there to keep the spectators, and it was exciting. I could feel the riders go by me as I'm facing the crowd, and they rushed by me within inches from behind me. It was pretty cool. So, yeah, volunteer. They definitely need volunteers. There's a stage, you said, is it San Francisco or Sausalito? It goes to Santa Cruz.
San Francisco this year.
San Francisco. Okay, we're going to go across the bridge then from...
No, we're not going over the bridge this year. That was a unique opportunity. It really helped last year that we were racing on a holiday. And without being able to have a holiday this year, closing the bridge is pretty much out of the question. It's just, you know, financially and technically, it's too much of an effort.
Well, why don't I just call up Arnold, Governor Arnold, and say, why don't you declare this a state holiday on the Tour of California holiday? Maybe
that would be nice. But we have a really good starting point right out on the Great Highway on the right on the beach. So we're going to be starting right at the ocean and heading down. So it's going to be pretty dramatic, I think.
Wow, that's cool. And Mines Road, that's a big old grade. How big is that grade again? How long is that?
Mines Road is, when you first start on it, it's flat, and then it makes a turn to continue, and we have the second KOM of that stage. The first one is Sierra, but probably about 5 miles into Mines Road, we have our first KOM, and then for the next 25 miles, it's just constantly up. You have some rollers, but it's one of those, 1, 2, 3% grades that it looks flat, and you think you're dragging a brake shoe, but as you look, your elevation keeps going and going. It's a windy road, so if somebody gets away on that road, you're not going to see them because you've only got 100 yards before the next turn, and they're out of sight.
Sounds like the beginning of it may be like one of those desert roads that you look out across the desert and you see the road just go straight forever, and it looks flat, but it's not. It's deceiving.
Yeah, it's a tough ride. Anybody who rides up there will tell you that Mines Road is not fun.
All right. We're here with Bike Sport Radio. We're talking about the Engine Tour California race courses with Eric Smith at bikesportradio.us, and we're live here at Kill Studios, Kill Radio. You can call us at 213-252-0998 if you have any specific questions about the race courses coming up at the Amgen Tour of California. Stage number 9, I believe you said, was Visalia to Bakersfield. That's in the Central Valley of California, the breadbasket where we grow all our food and vegetables. And are those towns, they haven't been used before for this Amgen Tour of California, have they?
No, they haven't. That's stage 5. We're starting in Visalia, which was a start town for us last year. We went from Visalia to Paso Robles. So this year we'll start in Visalia, but then we'll be hitting a lot of new towns. We'll be hitting Farmersville, Exeter, Lindsay. We'll have a sprint in Porterville. And once we're through Porterville, then we head towards the Sierras on Old Stage Road and head up to, I think it's called Glenwood up there. And from there, we're in very, very rural areas. You're talking open range roads where you have cattle on the roads. We were up there last week driving the course, and we saw cattle and mountain lions and wild turkeys up there.
Wow, that's neat. Yeah, I remember seeing a wild turkey or two out at San Luis Obispo, the road race up on the fort they had up there, and came around a corner, and the whole peloton just goes, turkeys, turkeys! And there was a couple of turkeys just kind of moseying across the road, and they got out of the way just in time. So lots of critters. And in Bakersfield, the downtown, I assume it finishes downtown Bakersfield or
no,
somewhere?
Actually,
where exactly?
We're finishing at Bakersfield College.
Oh, okay.
Which is on Panorama Highway, overlooking the bluffs and all the oil fields. It's anybody who's not been there before, it's an interesting vista to look at and see, literally thousands of oil derricks out there.
Very surrealistic looking. That's where our oil comes from in Central California. Yeah, a lot of oil wells in the Bakersfield and Taft and Maricopa area there. Big oil companies. All right, we've got Pasadena to La Cañada and up to Big Bear over some epic climbing. This is the stage a lot of people have been talking about. It's all covered with snow, at least parts of it right now. And where in Pasadena does that stage start?
The race is going to start in at City Hall, right there on Holly and Garfield. We'll head out Colorado Boulevard over the Colorado Street Bridge. In through the Rose Bowl area, we'll pass the Rose Bowl, climb out of the Arroyo into La Cañada, and then hit Highway 2. It's an interesting road now that the station fire has burned out an awful lot of trees and brush up there. It's pretty surrealistic to look up there. It's like a moonscape. We've only been able to go as far as Islip Saddle because now the road is closed between Islip Saddle and Big Pine. That's a 10-mile stretch of road that includes the 7,500-foot Dawson Saddle, which is the high point of this race. We won't be able to see what that road looks like until sometime in April when the snow finally starts melting and they can get in there and plow the roads.
I'm assuming Dawson Saddle is going to be one of the KOM points?
Yeah, it's got to be one of the KOMs.
How many are there in that stage? You know how many?
Not sure yet. There's going to be probably five, and probably one or two sprints. There's not much on that road that is straight. It's either up or down for the entire distance.
Right. This is no sprinters day here on the Pasadena to Big Bear stage. Now, that's later in the race. Quite possibly the race leader will have been determined, do you think, or is still things are going to be shaken up a little bit? We've got a time trial later.
It's very difficult. You really can't design courses to determine how the race is going to be played out or if it favors one person or another. The racers decide the difficulty of the stage. If you look last year, we went from Merced to Clovis up, getting into the areas around Yosemite, and we thought, wow, that's just going to blow the field apart, 6 KOMs, and it's going to be strung out. They didn't really race that hard that day. When they came into Clovis, it was a field sprint, which surprised everybody. And then we raced from Visalia to Paso Robles, which was dead flat, and they killed each other that day. So it's you never really can't predict a bike race.
That's absolutely right. You just never know. The racers do determine the race on that.
Bike racing, the world's toughest sport. Imagine listening to the radio on Monday to hear the weekend's race news, or having a chance to call in and chat with an expert about our sport. Well, imagine no more. We are Bike Sport Radio. Tune in to KILL Radio for reports on the weekend's local race action and results. Hear how local clubs or teams are doing, or call in and chat with a guest speaker about the sport or some of its many products used. We cover road, mountain bike, cyclocross, and track cycling in Southern California and are giving our fast-growing sport yet another media boost. Our studio is big enough for guests, and we have hosted a few notable ones. If you would like to be an in-studio guest, contact us. You can listen to Bike Sport Radio live or listen to an archive show at radioforall.net. Please donate at any level to us through the Kill Radio online link at www.killradio.org or support Bike Sport Radio by linking us to your websites. Thanks for listening to Bike Sport Radio.
Yeah, that's right, bikesportradio.us. That's our website for updates. We also have a Facebook group you can get involved with at Bike Sport Radio. Go to Facebook and just do a search on Bike Sport Radio. We're here to put bike racing on the map and talk about bike racing, bike racers, and what you need to race bikes. And right now we're chatting with Amgen Tour California Course Director Eric Smith. And we're moving into some of the later stages. There's a downtown Los Angeles time trial. What streets is that on? And tell us a little bit about that one.
This is a very, very unique time trial. In fact, if you go to the Tour California website, you can find storylines and maps and videos of all the stages. We start at Staples Center and head down south on Figueroa. We go through Exposition Park around the Coliseum and the Aquatic Center. We come back up Figueroa. So you're going to be racing up and down Figueroa, which is a chance for us to minimize the footprint of Los Angeles, so we're not landlocking a lot of people. From Figueroa, we'll head over and then up Olive, take Olive all the way to First Street, make a loop around City Hall, the new L.A. Cathedral, past the L.A. Music Center, Disney Hall, and then back down Olive again. So we're up and down on basically two streets in Los Angeles, and then we finish at on Chick Hearn right in front of LA Live. We'll do that lap twice. That lap is about 10.2 miles. We'll actually make a U-turn. Once we get past the finish line, we'll go about 100 meters past the finish, make a U-turn, come back out to Figueroa, and then start it again.
Wow. Now, Disney Hall, for those of you that aren't familiar with downtown LA, there's a hill up there. And that's going to be a climb. This is not a flat, fast time trial, and it sounds like it's got a few turns in it, too. So this is not favoring the flat riders. This is going to favor the short, fast climbers, huh?
Yeah, we've got two climbs. People don't realize that there's actually climbing in downtown Los Angeles. Going on Olive between 3rd and 5th, it's a two-step climb at about 7-8%. It'll get your attention. You're going downhill on First, and then once you hit Temple, you have a climb basically from Main Street all the way up to Grand. It's going to take some focus.
Way cool. And transportation with, you know, the roads and everything, there is a subway system in Los Angeles. Yes, listeners from out of town, we do have a subway system, and it drops you right at the Staples Center as well as Civic Center. There's a couple of stops, the Blue Line and the Red Line, so you can park out of town and take the train in and have a great ride. They're pretty clean subways. Do you have any deals on that, or are you promoting the subway use, I guess, a lot?
We will be promoting the subway use. I mean, obviously, we expect a lot of people in Los Angeles. Parking's going to be at a premium.
Good.
I would do what you can to, you know, walk, take the train, ride your bike.
Yeah, one other thing that's good about the subway here, of course, you can bring your bike on the train as well. So bring your bikes, ride your bike to the station, or just park your vehicle at a train station somewhere out of town. You can come in from as far away as either Long Beach or North Hollywood or Redondo Beach. And take your bike on the train, and you get out at the station, you can ride your bike all around in downtown L.A. So we definitely would like to see more of that and fewer cars. So if you intend to drive down, be prepared to pay premium and be prepared for the traffic. Understand the traffic in Los Angeles. You will understand that after the race, certainly.
Yeah, I'd like to point out that any parking you see around the Staples Center today will probably be used by the race for our vehicles and TV compounds and the Lifestyle Expo. So don't count on coming in there and finding a parking space.
I certainly won't. All right. And then that's not the last stage. That's the second to last stage, correct?
That's stage 7, right.
Okay. And then the final stage is a circuit race in Thousand Oaks. And that is Thousand Oaks is also the headquarters for Amgen, the title sponsor. Does the circuit race course actually go by Amgen headquarters?
No, we're starting the race at the Oaks Shopping Center in Thousand Oaks off of Lynn Drive and the 101. From there, we'll head over to the finish line, which is on Townsgate, over in Thousand Oaks, and we then hit the course. It's a 20-mile course. You know, we started a tradition last year. Typically, the last stage on a stage race like this is more of a parade lap, like coming into the Champs-Élysées in France.
Right.
You never see the yellow jersey change. Last year with Palomar, we really broke that tradition. And
yeah,
we're doing the same this year with that climb up Mulholland 4 times and then a truly treacherous descent down Westlake Boulevard going into the finish. It's going to shake things up, but I wouldn't be surprised to see if it's close this year, you're going to see a lot of attacking and a lot of defending by whoever has that yellow jersey.
Yeah, those of you who are maybe not from the area, the Mulholland Drive heads into what's called the Santa Monica Mountain Range along Southern California. They are some of the largest mountains on the coastline here, and there's some big training rides that go up and down these mountains as well, so it's definitely going to be a challenging. It's not a flat circuit parade race, definitely not. So, any special suggestions for spectator viewing? Like, let's say, what's your best recommendation for spectators anywhere throughout the Tour of California? Maybe a recommendation for Northern Cal, and then maybe a recommendation for Southern Cal.
Probably the obvious place to watch the race is the start and the finish, and then wherever we have a KOM, especially on some of the epic climbs like up Tanitas Creek or Sierra Road. What we did last year was put together a manifesto for the spectators to tell them the best places to watch the race and how to get there, but more importantly, that if you plan on watching a race from one spot, what your options are to get to the next viewing area. So if you're in Tanitas Creek and you want to see the finish in Santa Cruz, if it can be done and how it can be done. I know a lot of people have ideas of they're going to hit this spot, that spot, and this spot, and honestly, it's just not feasible to do. So look for that coming up onto the Amgen Tour of California website in the next few weeks.
Right, unless you've got a helicopter or something that can quickly leapfrog from spot to spot. I know I went and saw one of the epic stages out at Balcom Canyon, and basically I was told, hey, bring a tent, bring your lunch, bring your camping gear, and get up there real early. And that's what we did. We basically went up there and stayed there a good part of the day waiting for the riders to come by. And it was still pretty awesome. It was, even though we were stuck there, it was incredible when they came by. I cannot believe how fast these guys were going on an uphill. People don't ride their motorcycles up hills that fast sometimes.
We found that last year when we went up Mount Palomar. We went up there in the evening before the stage with our fencing trucks to put fencing towards the top of the KOM. And by the time we got there, there was no place to put fencing. There were so many people up there. I expect to see the same thing this year on Mulholland. I expect to see people, you know, sort of camping out there to grab their spot.
Right. Nice, nice. Should be a great spectator view. So for Southern Cal, recommendations for spectator viewing, what do you think on that?
I think, first of all, on the last stage, get to Mulholland early and stake out your spot. There's very, very little parking up on Mulholland, so plan on parking your car someplace and either walking and carrying in whatever you need for the evening. And on Angeles Crest Highway, there's just multiple opportunities. You can, even though we have, you know, 3 or 4 KOMs, there's probably 8 or 9 potential KOMs up there. I think that's the place to watch the race is somewhere up on Angeles Crest or even up towards Crestline and in some of those areas.
Yeah. So get in there early and don't plan on leaving. There are switchbacks on Angeles Crest too. Some really neat steep switchbacks up there. All right. Well, Eric, anything else you want to add about the Amgen Tour California?
For the local people here in Los Angeles, we need a lot of volunteers for that time trial course, and it's an awesome opportunity to get out there and be part of the race. You get to see the riders come by at least twice on every lap. So, if you want to get involved with the race, that's the place to do it. We can use volunteers on all the stages, but for the people listening locally here, we could really use your support.
Okay, AmgenTourCalifornia.com, that is. And all right, thanks for coming in, Eric. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brad. It's always a pleasure.
Okay, as we move along in the rest of the show, I had a chance to participate in what's called a double century. It's called the El Camino Real double century. And we've got some sounds. I chronicled a lot of that event. 200 miles on a bike, believe it or not. Yeah, I'm crazy. Let's get in some of those sounds here. We got the start, and we got a lot of sounds from that.
So nice out today, huh?
We're here at the start line now. The what used to be called the Butterfield Century is the El Camino Real Century. As the riders are assembling, huddled under the awning in the rain, yes, at La Quinta in East Irvine. Yeah. 6:15 start time coming up in a few minutes. Okay, first start, here we are at the start. Heading out down Burt Road and Sand Canyon Road. We got about 100 riders, maybe 80 riders, and it's wet. All right, we are moving about 24 miles an hour, 22 miles an hour here on the double century. And we just turned on a jamboree. Still raining. I can't believe these guys are going 22, 23 miles an hour. I sure can't keep that speed up for the whole 200. And
Got a lineup here. We'll be coming back at you in a little while on Bike Sport Radio. Okay, we're in the we're on San Joaquin Hills Road, I believe, in the San Joaquin Hills and Turtle Rock area on one of the climbs. 8 of the elite riders. Actually, I think there's about 4 up front and 4 in the second group here. And again, I find it hard to believe they're going to keep this pace for the full 200 miles. Maybe those front 4 will. But we'll see how it goes in the second group here. I see the front guys. They're just a quarter mile up the road. And we're hitting it downhill now. So we'll be back at you.
Yeah, I couldn't believe these guys went out so fast on a double century. This is 200 miles on the bike, and I was thinking, why are these guys going this fast? And a couple of the leaders, for the most part, they did keep that pace the whole way, because we never saw them again. And let's continue on with some of our El Camino Real double century audio chronicles.
All right, we've caught them. We've caught the Elite Four, and we're back in the elite group in the front on the Camino Real double century here. We got a traffic light coming up, so thankfully for that, that's kept our group of our little groupetto of about 10 guys together rolling. Green light, here we go, another hill climb coming up. All right, I'm back. We're doing a radio chronicle here, Bike Sport Radio. You guys are going to be on our radio show called Bike Sport Radio. And thankfully for the lights, traffic lights, I'm up here with the Elite Four. I get some names. What are you guys' names?
Greg. Keith Rodsky,
all right. Rick Jacobson, and David Coggins. You guys are all experienced, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
You've done this before.
Ian.
Ah, okay. Yeah. We're going to be on a radio show here. And I'm going to be chronicling this. I'm Brad House.
I know you're professional cross racing.
Back on Track production. That's right. All right, we got a downhill coming. And there's the ocean. We'll be back with you shortly. Light up! All right, we are. We just went up Laguna Canyon. Now we're on El Toro, heading towards Canyon Hills in the Laguna Hills. And got 9 of us together still in the lead as we climb this gradual incline. Right. At 22 miles into it, I wouldn't call this any kind of a lead. This is just the beginning. The fun's only starting. Only 180 miles to go. And I think we'll be making a turn soon, maybe. I'm not sure. And heading down towards Dana Point, I believe. Is that where our first checkpoint is? Checkpoint? There's a checkpoint in Dana Point, I think. Yeah. And I hope to be able to stay with some kind of group. All right, we'll keep you posted on Bikesport Radio. At Aliso Creek and Aliso Viejo Parkway, at a stoplight, 30 miles into it. Only 170 to go. As my, we're starting to roll now. Still got lots of energy, but the ride's only starting. 34 miles into it, we're at Alicia and Pacific Island. The sun has just burst through. It's nice and sunny now. Heading into downhill at 34 miles into the ride. Mile 45, approximately mile 45. We're in San Clemente in the neighborhood here. And it's a slight uphill. The sun's out and the streets are drying.
on the Camino Real Century, double century. 160 miles to go. And I'm here with Renee and
Karen.
Karen, how many doubles have you done?
This will be number 49.
Woo! Nice.
Yeah, I think
very nice. And Renee? 27 or so doubles. Oh, you're awesome. This is my first. This is my first.
And
yeah.
It's addictive too, obviously.
Well, I'm already addicted to the sport. It's already cost me thousands of dollars, family life, and interfere with my job, and
no divorce yet, hopefully.
Oh yeah, divorce and everything.
Already, yeah.
Oh yeah, so it's definitely an addiction. But there were worse things to be addicted to. So,
yeah.
Which way? Straight. We're stopping here. This is San Clemente, and San Clemente PD has been known to be out and about. Look at the sun. This is awesome. Just awesome. Complete contrast compared to this morning's start when it was wet, but not cold. This is California after all. And we'll be coming back at you in a little while on Bike Sport Radio.
We're listening to Audio Chronicles of the El Camino Real Double Century that was just held on Saturday, February 20th. 200 miles on a bike.
All right, so checkpoint number one, right here in kind of like Camp Pendleton campground area. And just left that area at 55 miles now. Picked up a poker card. Was a King of Diamonds. Not a bad card. And heading onto the 5 freeway shortly, and then heading down to San Juan. Yeah, we're on Bike Sport Radio here for the entire 200 miles. It's an internet radio show.
Oh yeah. What's your name?
My name's Paul.
Paul.
Yeah, Huntington Beach.
Beach, Paul.
Yeah.
How many doubles have you done?
This is number 9.
Woo!
Nice. Very nice.
Last year, he's 14.
Well, I just passed some women who had were in the 20s and 40s. 27, one had done 41.
The guy that I came up here with is an Hall of Fame. This is about 7 foot.
Woo!
Wow.
Wow. Is he one of the guys in the lead right now, maybe?
Not yet. He's starting.
All right. We'll be coming back at you. Yes, sun's out.
Right out.
Road's dry.
Yeah, I'm dry.
I'm not. Not yet. Getting there, though. I'm getting ready to take my jacket off soon, so we'll be back at you at Bike Sport Radio shortly. Okay, so we exited a street called Neptune Way, coming in Oceanside, and then lost the rest of the group. And this is where it gets tricky. There's just not enough riders. And there's a bike path that we go on underneath a little loop underneath an underpass under Highway 1. Gorgeous little bike path here along a creek bed. I'm on my own now. And there's like nobody as far as I can see in front of me. And there's nobody as far as I can see behind me. But I'm heading east now on what I hope is the North River Trail towards Highway 76. And so it's going to be interesting. The sun's out, though, and spirits are high. Okay, now we're on North River Road, I believe, getting ready to look for Old River Road, and then approaching San Leoray Downs. I'm not by myself anymore, at least. Hooked up with John. Was it John? Yeah, John. And got a couple miles till a lunch break now.
double century on Bike Sport Radio.
Yeah, this guy John caught up with me on the lonely riverbed bike path there heading towards Bonsall, and thank God he did. He knows the route, one of the local riders of the area. He knew the route, he knew the old river route, he knew the San Larry Downs area, so rode with him up until the lunch break on the double century.
Okay, and here we are. This is lunch, I think. Is this the lunch stop? This is the lunch break. Yeah, we're here. John, there he is. We're at 90 miles. And we're on the lunch stop here. Subway sandwiches. And I feel better than I should, I guess, on Bike Sport Radio. Turkey sandwich from Subway, and we're off on Castle Creek.
Yeah, they had sandwiches for everybody. Really cool rest stop at that campground. Subway sandwiches, vegetarian or turkey, and we all wolfed one of those down, no problem at all. What I didn't expect was the climb that came up right after lunch when you got a full belly.
Crossing Highway 395 now. This is a climb at 90 miles into the Camino Real double. And again, the sun's out, partly cloudy, and it is bright and sunny now. And that was a good lunch. The rider I was with just a few minutes ago, John, is up the road a little ways. Hopefully we'll see him soon as we wheel him in. This street's going to turn into Lilac Road and cross old 395. It'll actually be on part of the San Leo Rey road race course that the San Diego Cyclovets put on each year down here in San Leo Rey Down. Switchbacks! Oh my God, we got switchbacks up here. And I can see two switchbacks ahead, and I see riders up the hill. This was not expected after lunch, especially I don't want to taste my lunch twice, but we got switchbacks, and now that I remember, I think somebody told me right after lunch is the steepest part of the whole ride, and they didn't say switchbacks, though. I don't like switchbacks. Ooh, roadkill. Watch the roadkill there. And it is gorgeous out here, though. And we're heading around the first switchback now as we climb into the mountains here on Circle R, right next to Castle Creek. Okay, 2 more miles of one of those orange diamond warning signs where you have a snake on it, a twisty snake with an arrow at the end, and it says next 2 miles. That means twisty. And switchbacks. So I see the riders up ahead as we go back and forth, zigzagging our way up this climb. Sure, I'm glad I had lunch right before hitting this steep-ass hill here. Still climbing. And it's kind of nice. There's only a little bit of traffic out here. And the sun's ducked behind a cloud now, so it's cooled down a little bit, which is cool. It's fine on the uphill. But switchbacks. More switchbacks. I hate switchbacks. 99.5 miles. We're down off the switchbacks and down on old 395 here in, I think we're approaching Fallbrook, flat section of 395. And got a nice little tailwind here now going, tailwind blowing up from behind on the flat section of 395, so that sure is a welcome addition. to this ride. We're just now approaching almost the halfway point, 99.7 miles to go. I mean, we've gone. I'm already starting to be delirious. Oh my god, I got another 100 to go. Okay, here we go. Still hitting, still pushing 20 miles an hour. And 99.99, 100 miles. Just cracked 100 miles on this Camino Real double century. So that can be a big relief. Half the ride is behind us now. Half to go.
Now that's a big relief, definitely. Exhilaration when you know you're like, hey, it's half over. How about that? It's half over. 100 miles to go at the Camino Real double century, brought to you by Planet Ultra.
121 miles on the Viadom. We're on the river trail again, heading towards Oceanside. Group of three here. Fierce headwind. And 122. So 79 miles to go, 80 miles to go or so. And it's got a lot of wind. There's a lot of wind on this path. This route, wind's starting to pick up. Starting to definitely feel the ride. Alright, rest stop at 80. I can't even think straight. We have 80 miles to go about. Yeah, okay, this is a rest stop. And, I'm not gonna talk, I'm tired.
Whatever you want to get.
126 miles into the ride. And we are in Oceanside now, backtracking on Coast Highway. And Highway 5 on the right. And nothing but beach on the left. And thank God I'm with some riders there. I got Paul Danhouse and old John still here. Sorry I took so long at the last rest stop, John. And here we are getting ready to go on the 5. Highway 5 north. All right, here we go. We're on Highway 5. And check, we're hitting 25 miles an hour. I don't know what it is about Highway 5. Maybe it's the speed limit. And at 130 miles into it, here we go. We're flying again at 25 miles an hour. Okay, we have caught a small group being led by a tandem. And at 132 miles into it. So that's good news. The tandem will do a lot of the work for us now. And we'll just sit in their draft for a little bit of R&R. If you can say there's any R&R in a ride like this, I don't know. But yeah, we've caught a tandem. Santana tandem on the double century by Planet Ultra.
There is no R&R in a double century, really. But the tandem was definitely good news, catching up to that tandem and getting a ride with them. They're just like drafting behind a motor pace vehicle. A lot of power out of that tandem. So that was cool. They brought us in most of the rest of the way, out to about the last 30 miles or so.
Okay, we're on the infamous Camp Pendleton runway now. 135 miles into the ride. Still drafting the small group with a tandem taking the lead, which is cool. What a relief. And 65 miles to go. I can't believe I might actually finish this thing. First ever double century. And you got to listen to me bore you to death here on Bike Sport Radio. All right, here we are. Checkpoint 3, right?
You guys just get off the bus or something. Yeah, train
checkpoint 3.
We saw the train go by.
Yeah, we jumped off the train, yeah. We were drafting it, yeah. Ah, come on.
One of the volunteers at the checkpoint didn't believe we got there so fast and thought we might have jumped off the bus or the train that just went by.
Legs.
First line never has a chance. Wait a minute.
We got to get our cards checked here.
Yeah, cards over on the side.
Cards over here.
All right, that was that checkpoint. Third checkpoint, and no carnage. Everybody leaving together, and no cramping either. The ocean is just incredibly smooth and blue. Not a cloud in the sky either. On Bike Sport Radio here. Yeah, you're on the radio.
Hi. Hi.
What's your name? Cool. We're about 60 miles to go, huh?
Yeah.
All right. And we got some headwind, too. 60 miles to go. It's on the Camino Real. Double century ride here on Bike Sport Radio. 50 miles to go. And we're crossing Camino San Clemente on El Camino Real at 50 miles to go now. And it's still windy, but not that bad. Camino Real is totally flat, so, and we got the tandem with us doing 20 miles an hour. Light up. That was a hill. We've lost the tandem. Maybe they'll catch us on the downhill. We're at 42 miles or so to go. In are we in Crown Valley area yet? I'm ready for this to be done, definitely. And and we got a downhill here. We're paralleling Highway 5, looking to turn on. I think the next turn is Crown Valley Parkway in upper San Juan Capistrano.
All right, on Marguerite Parkway, we just passed Saddleback College entrance and the mall down here, Rancho Santa Margarita, I believe. And this is a hill. Another hill at 160 miles. Alright, yippee, we found the next turn from Marguerite. We're turning right on Crown Valley here in Mission Viejo. Right turn. And that was a hill climb. The tandem is struggling and oh, there they are. Okay, they're catching up on the downhill here. Crown Valley's a downhill. Sweet.
45 miles to go, approximately. Oh, I'm just drunk with tiredness and stupidity. Signing off here for a second.
Right now we're entering the town of Rancho Santa Margarita. And we're on Antonio Drive. 33 miles to go in the double century. All kinds of road furniture out, they call it, in the middle of the center divider. There's a little ornamental pillow out there. Very tempting. I feel like I about crawl up and curl up on that pillow that I saw out there.
Okay, checkpoint. What checkpoint is this? Four, right? Yeah, checkpoint. Uh-huh. Checkpoint 4, and we just had Nissin Cup noodles. Whoa, and that was good. Lots of salt and Mountain Dew.
What else would you like?
What else would I like? A ride back.
Somebody's got to eat it.
Oh, I'm audio chronicling here for Bike Sport Radio, and I'm at a loss for words. I'm so tired, so I'll sign off for now. Okay, the SAG vehicle came by. It says I'm in the top 10 of the whole group. That's surprisingly good news to me.
Here comes John, and I think that's Paul. Paul Danhouse and John. We're on an uphill in Trabuco Oaks, getting ready to head over this little climb here and then down to Cook's Corner, where we'll take a ride on San Diego Canyon and complete the canyon. All right, I'm on the home stretch here, the Double Century. We're on Portola. 7 miles to go, maybe six. It's dark, and it's not as cold as it was this morning, though. I'm actually borderline cramping, but amazingly enough, I'm going to finish this thing, and I'm not even hallucinating about that. Next stop, the finish line. We'll be back where we'll be in a little while on Bike Sport Radio. Half a block away, we're at Birch and Sand Canyon. Here we are. How do you feel?
Good.
Yeah. I feel okay, I guess. I don't know if I'd say good, but I'm still upright, and there's somebody finishing right there.
That was the guy we ride with.
Huh? Oh, that was the guy we ride with. Oh,
yeah.
He came down a different way. Right on.
Yeah, he walked before us.
Yeah. Wow. It's almost over. We're pulling into the hotel any second now. Here we are. This is it. And wow, I only see like five guys here.
Some of them are
less. So, ow! Oh my god. Listen to all the chatter. We're here, and this is the finish of the first ever 200 miles.
Yeah, it's better than 0 miles.
That's right.
Can you guys start getting
that? Good job. You gotta mail that in.
Woohoo! Bike Sport Radio covered the whole thing. I'm gonna fall over here. First ever 200 miles.
Rat house. Gotta get that picture.
Oh, hey, Lynn. Eric says you've done, I don't know how many doubles, 91. Countless. 91.
Say hi.
Hi, say sex.
No, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. 1, 2, 3. It says it on the ground. Eric's like, is Brad out there? Is Brad out there?
Yeah, Eric's coming into the Eric's coming into Bike Sport Radio on Monday.
He's going to ask you about the ride.
It was fun.
Good.
Oh, man. Yeah, my first double. We'll be back at you shortly. All right, so we had a chance to finish this thing finally and interview one of the promoters of the Planet Ultra Double Century. And it was an awesome ride. So glad to finish it, too. here's Deborah. She's one of the assistants helping out the Planet Ultra. We got a chance to chat with her. Let's hear what she had to say.
That's okay. Oh, well, so here's the finish line. And this is Planet Ultra. You're with Planet Ultra, right?
Yes.
Okay, your name is, what's your name?
Deborah Boy.
Deborah Boy. Okay, good job putting on a great event today. And how long have you been putting on this event?
This event since 2002.
2002. It used to be called the Butterfield Century, right?
Yep. Okay. It had a different route, and after it was the old Butterfield stage route.
Oh, okay.
But the traffic out in that area got so bad, we changed the route.
Changed the route. So since you changed the route, you changed the name to the Camino Real.
Right.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, I had a fun time, and anything you want to say about the ride today? It was a great route, I think.
Well, thanks. It was challenging. We were very lucky to avoid some rain, and had beautiful weather, nice and cool.
Oh, it was awesome out there, yeah. The sun came out, too. So.
Yeah, so all in all, it went really well. This is a nice local ride for predominantly a local crowd. It's a little more urban than some of our rides, but it's nice for the locals so they don't have to travel to it.
Right.
So it's very convenient. So you do get a predominantly Southern California flavor here.
Yeah, I noticed on the sign-in sheet a lot of locals and stuff. So, and then Planet Ultra does a number of other events too during the year. And the next one's coming up when?
Our next double century is March 27th in Solmay, and that's far and away our biggest event. It's a, as far as doubles go, it's considered one of the easier ones.
Oh.
It's pretty scenic through the kind of central California wine country.
Yeah, wine country.
Yeah,
cool.
And you know, less cars, less traffic,
right.
A little less climbing. So that one's really popular. We get about between 500 and 600 riders.
Okay.
Very good first.
Good. And where do people find out to sign up about that?
PlanetUltra.com.
PlanetUltra.com. All right. Very good. Thank you, Deb. Thanks for a good event.
Thank you.
Yeah, so that was my first ever double century, 200 miles on a bike, February 20th. That was the El Camino Real double century. More details on that at planetultra.com, a very well-run event. And it was a good day. Started out a little wet, sun came out later and dried up, and it was awesome. But we started in the dark, and I finished in the dark. Yeah, the sun went down on me. That's a long time to spend on a bicycle. So, as we come to a close here, Bikesport Radio would like to thank all our listeners and Eric Smith from the Amgen Tour of California for coming in. And remember, cyclists, drive your bike just like you would a car. And we'll see you out there on our next show at Bikesport Radio.
And I told them this, I don't remember much except just